And he couldn't be here today, so he's asked me to minister the Word of God, so I always love for an opportunity to do that. I'll just tell you, we all have a testimony, and praise the Lord. I'm so grateful for the Word that brings light to us, that we don't have to live defeated, busted, and disgusted. But I do invite you that if you haven't heard Pastor Tim, or you haven't had an opportunity to meet with Pastor Tim, I just invite you, come on back. He's the pastor anointed and appointed for this work, and he would certainly want to meet you. But praise the Lord, I have some things on my heart, and I just trust you're going to help me this morning. You say, well, how do I help you this morning? Well, sometimes it's as simple as a smile on your face. Amen. Sometimes we get under the press of the world to the point where it's like, you know what? Just be thankful that I'm sitting here right now in this company of people. Yeah, I understand. And well done for being here. Praise the Lord. That is first and foremost to make it to the house of the Lord. But I'll tell you what, if you could just backseat the trials for a minute, if you could just kind of put those things that have been nagging you and pressing you for the last while and season, maybe even up until this day, if you could just backseat those things for a little while, and just let Jesus have his way. Just let the Holy Ghost minister to your heart. That's what you want to do. Because those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, they shall be filled. Just hungry. Just hungry. You know, it's people that, you know, in our family, especially the Hofert side, we can get a little hangry sometimes. And you've heard these things before. Yeah, the Hoferts don't miss too many meals. You know what I mean? I've been trying to. I've been doing better to help put the flesh under and doing some fasting and stuff like that. But I'll tell you what, sometimes when the flesh gets deprived of food, you just want to start swinging. You get sensitive. You find out real quick that even if you've done any fasting or you've missed a meal, you get sensitive to some things. And rightfully so, like, praise the Lord for fasting. And this is in a pitch for fasting, because fasting doesn't change God. Fasting changes you. But it does make you more sensitive, and it can work on the positive towards the things of God and the spiritual side. But I'll tell you what, you miss a meal and someone cuts out in front of you, or someone steps on your toes, you know what I mean? All of a sudden, you're super sensitive, where it's like, man, keep the hand back from cold cocking them across the face, you know, at the gas station, and, you know, in the public, and, you know, in the workplace when someone's sharp and abrasive. Praise God. I'm just character testing a little bit here right now. But I'm telling you, be sensitive to the things of God and point your direction and your movement towards the things of God. Amen. And so we all have a supply we bring, and it's like, well, you know, we go to church to hear the word. Yes, absolutely. Praise the Lord for it. But we see through the word of God that it's always a faith requirement to participate with the things of God. Why? Because I just dare say that the majority of everybody here is born again today. Praise God. And if not, we're going to give an opportunity at the end of service to get born again. Just about everyone's born again here. But is everybody walking in highest and best of God? Is everybody fully arrived in the maturity and stature of Jesus Christ himself? No. Why? Because it's going to take your participation with what Jesus has already done and the redemption for mankind on your behalf to come into a knowledge of those things, and your participation by faith to apprehend those things. So people are like, well, I'm just going to put it on easy mode. Hey, que sera, sera, whatever it'll be, and, you know, we're living in the end days. I'm just going to kick up my feet, grab a seat, and just wait for the return of Jesus. Well, that's being disrespectful of the meal that has been prepared for you through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, because he set a full table full of supply and provision for everything that you would need in life. And there was a price of death and shed blood on your behalf that you would walk into those things. Why? For you? For them. Somebody's waiting on your endurance, your steadfastness, your faith to grab hold of the Jesus that you know because you're born again and be an example out there to them. Hey, man, I'm born again. If I didn't care about you guys, don't count me sitting there every Sunday. Don't count me coming on Wednesdays. Why? Don't want to. The flesh doesn't want to. I work full days, long hours. I worked Saturdays. I don't see my family. Let me spend some time with my kids and my family. I'm just going to sit and just kick my feet up. Y'all just do what you want. No, 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 no. He's placed a gifting and ability on the inside of me that is not for me. And when you recognize that he's done the same for you and your giftings and talents and abilities are not just for your benefit, but they are for everybody else, you'll see me sitting there. You'll see me being faithful to what my Heavenly Father did because Jesus Christ paid the ultimate price. Thank you, Jesus, that you brought me out of the pit so that I can be an example to other people. You may be questioning why you're going through the things that you're going through. You wonder why this has been a season prolonged of buffeting and trial and temptation and never getting ahead and never moving forward. And you're wondering why it seems like you've been in a ditch, because the devil's after your gifting. And if he can keep you in the mindset that I am a ditch liver and not exalted to the right hand of the Heavenly Father, where I'm seated in victory with him, then you're ineffective towards the things of God and other people will go without. I'm just trying to be real here. For those of you that have been here a short while, there's teaching element to the Word of God, but Pastor Tim and I are very different in our delivery. So I apologize, don't apologize that I'm a little raw here today. I'm not mad at anybody or yelling at anybody. Just let me preach what's on my heart. Let me go forward the Word of God, because other people in this day and time need what you have. Why? Because the greater one's on the inside of you. They are without that. Don't even know how to fathom, grab hold of that until someone tells them about Jesus and the Word of God. Why are you getting knocked down so much? We're living in a day and time where people need it now more than ever. They need your stamina, your faithfulness, and your endurance so that when they're crashing down, I'm still standing. Pastor's been ministering over the course of the last number of weeks in Ephesians chapter 6 to put on the full armor of God. Why? That you may be able to stand in the evil day. And having done all to stand or withstand, to stand therefore. Standing in a position that when the smoke clears, there you are. Faithful is just as you've ever been. Day in, day out, seeking Jesus. I knew there was something different about those family church folks because they talk different. They act different. Everybody was getting laid off, but for whatever reason, somehow they had a smile on their face, counting it all joy. For whatever reason, I know the trial they've been going through. I know the loss that they've been going through. I've known that they've been beaten down time and time again. And for whatever reason, they still keep moving forward when they should have quit a long time ago. Oh, man, people need what you have. And I say that because the enemy, the accuser of the brethren, tells you how insignificant and how worthless you are. Well, that's not Jesus. And when you know that you're the apple of his eye, what good am I? What am I supposed to do? I'm the least in the body of Christ. I'm not even doing anything. Well, I don't even know where to start. I can't read my Bible like I should. I'm not praying like I should. If you are born again and the greater one's on the inside of you, you are worth. You are valuable. You are accepted here today. You make a difference. Turn with me, if you will, to Mark chapter 5. And I don't know creatively if there's a good title for this, but I just put down Look to Jesus. And I did get the text last night that we received about, Pastor said in Mark chapter 5, he talked about the demon-possessed man and the woman with the issue of blood both got delivered in the same chapter. Well, praise God for that. Praise God for that. And I love and passionate about the woman with the issue of blood. And I want to read this passage, and let's get some revelation out of that. Let's get some nuggets out of this passage, because I don't know about you, we can all relate to the Word of God in any discretion. But anyway, this woman was dealing with things for 12 years, 12 years when we pick this up. And I want to just touch on this. In verse 25, in Mark chapter 5, and it says, "And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus immediately, knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and you say, who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Let's just stop right there. The woman with the issue of blood. I love this passage in the Bible. Here's a woman that had an issue of internal bleeding for 12 years. More than a decade long, 12 years, a woman with an issue of blood. Constant day out, day in, day out reminder of her ailment. She exhausted every resource that she had, didn't grow better, in fact, grew worse. Why? Because the condition she had just didn't affect her body. It affected her peace. It affected her finances. She exhausted every single arm of the flesh that she could possibly do to bring about a remedy, and had continually, time after time, fallen short. We cooperate with doctors, with medicines, physicians. We do everything within our ability to cooperate with the knowledge of the Word of God that we know that we have. But sometimes we come to that place where I've tried everything. I've done everything that I can naturally do, and I'm still falling short. She said, if I could but touch the hem of his garment, for she heard that Jesus was coming by. And she said, because she heard, if I could but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole of my plague. So she came in the press behind him and touched his garment. And immediately, virtue left Jesus. Jesus stopped, turned around. He said, who touched me? And we all know this. The disciples like, everybody touched you. Everybody touched you. This is a multitude, a throng. You're asking who touched you. He felt virtue leave his body. This woman approached Jesus in the defeated position of the unclean. Separated from society based on ceremonial law, as she was unclean because she had a medical condition. Marked with the appropriate garment, signifying you need to stay on the outside of the rest of us all. So not only was she spoken to every day by the sickness on the inside of her, she was She was categorized by the social structure as unclean. So in other words, not only am I dealing with this on the inside, now my social status has been stripped from me. She was at a position, what do I have to lose? I've tried everything else, fallen short. I'm still broken, and now I'm an outcast amongst civilization. She heard of Jesus. She said, if I could but touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. She said, if I could touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. Why? I've been put in this class of sick, broke, depressed, and outcast over something in my body that I didn't do. I don't know how this got there. I've tried everything to remedy this. Why was this hand dealt to me? You think I chose? This is out of my control. You think I wanted to be sick? You think I wanted to be depressed? You think I wanted to go day by day being that person dressed in the garments that show me that I'm an outcast? You think I chose this? This is out of my control. She said, if I could touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. If not, you're going to be an unclean person going amongst the clean and desperate. Kill me. You think I have something to lose? You think I'm in a position right now where I got some great inheritance or some social status? I got nothing. You know what I got? I got Jesus. This is what happened. Virtue left Jesus's body. He said, who touched me? She coming before him said, I touched you. Virtue left your body and I've been made whole. This is what happened. This is what happened when the woman in her state touched Jesus. Everything that motivated her steps to get to Jesus before that, this is what happened with Jesus. First thing he says, daughter. Daughter, your faith has made you whole. Go in peace and be whole of your plague. For the last 12 years, she's been the unclean one, the broke one, the impoverished one, the diseased one, the outcast one, the good-for-nothing one, the discommunicated one. Until she had an encounter with Jesus, first thing he says, daughter. Did you say daughter? All these people thronged and pressed onto you. I grabbed you with a grasp of faith. Virtue came into my body. Jesus says, daughter. Daughter. Everybody there, the multitudes heard, daughter, your faith has made you whole. This is going to rock the other people's thoughts on who I was. They all know me for the last 12 years, what I've become. The shell of a person of brokenness that I am right now until I had an encounter with Jesus. And then he uprooted the 12 years of bashing and trashing and disappointment by one word, daughter. Your faith and what is on the inside of you has made you whole. You go in peace and be whole of your plague. Haven't heard that for 12 years. Didn't know there was such a thing. All I came into contact was Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. And my whole past of defeat that brought me to this point, one encounter with Jesus, daughter, you've been brought to the family. It's the same thing with us. You that are born again, we don't have to live under a measure of defeat because the greater one is on the inside of us. Let me specify, we will go through trials. We will go through temptations. This world, because the lowercase g, God of this world, is in control of things on the outside. I'm not saying you're not going to feel the stress and the beating and the temptation that comes along with the course of this world. But I'm saying, because you have a heavenly Father that recognizes you. You're not labeled as the one that's constantly falling short. You're not labeled as the one that's always missing the mark. You're not labeled as the sick. You're not labeled as the depressed. You're not labeled as the unfruitful. You're not labeled as those things. One encounter with Jesus, the greater one on the inside of you. Oh, man. I'll tell you a story. Probably a month ago or so, Aaron, our son, he does, on Thursdays, he goes down to the Y and he does parkour. Now, if you don't know what parkour is, it's those guys that flip and jump and bounce over things and jump over buildings and with a single bound and all that other stuff. We won't go that quite that far, but amen, he enjoys doing it. It's like gymnastics to an extent for the younger guys, but he's been learning some things. But anyway, there's this kid that comes, and he's got a disability. Sweet boy. I don't know what he has, if it's cerebral palsy or something like that, but he has like a wheel walker. He can walk by himself to an extent, but he has the support of that. And it was like, man, a couple months ago, and we all felt awful about the whole thing, but there was an edge like where the mat went up to this point where all the gymnastics mats, and then it went to actually hard floor. And so I'll give this boy credit. I mean, he's getting after it. And he's like tumbling and rolling, and he can somersault all the way down this trampoline bouncy, you know, runway thing. And he had his walker, and he was coming up to the edge. And, of course, as a parent, or the parents were all like back seated along the chairs that they had there. And what happened was his front wheels went down and they caught. And so he goes over head over heels and no hands to quick put, I mean, just right down on his head on the cement. So we're all like, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. And this kid hit the ground. So we're like going over and talking to him and we're going to go get an ice pack and this, that, and the other thing. I mean, just devastating to see this kid just got wrecked. And you know what? He never made a peep. It was like this thing happened all the time or something. I don't know. But he didn't make a peep or a sniff or a cry or anything like that. He laid there and finally, you know, got him up and he sat. And I'm sure he was, you know, pretty distraught after that. But it's like concussion protocol kind of a thing. You know, like, what do we do? And I don't know that his parents was there because I know sometimes they bring like the after school kids. So fast forward to like a month ago. This happened maybe the beginning of maybe the end of last year. So fast forward to like a month ago. So this kid, I show up to pick Aaron up. So I'm standing there and this kid's, you know, flipping and doing his thing. And he got his wheelie walker thing and he comes over. So I see him go over. They have like little cubby holes where they can keep their stuff, their boots and stuff like that. And so he grabbed his boot, one of his boots, and he put it down. And so he's trying to get his foot in there. And so I'm sitting there, and I kind of look over, and I see what he's trying to do. And I'm like, they're just like slip-on boots. And I'm like, oh. I'm like, he's got the wrong foot. He's trying to put his left foot into the right boot and all that other stuff. So I'm like, oh, hey, bro. I said, I'm like, you got the wrong boot there. I said, that goes on your other foot. Oh, so I put it in, then he put his other foot and it slipped right in. He says, oh, that's why I couldn't get it in. Okay. So then I saw his other boot there. So I said, let me help you with this. So I grabbed it and I put it in there. And he put his other foot in there and stuff and he got it, put his glasses on and stuff like that. And he's like, thank you so much for helping me with that. Thank you so much. Yeah, bro, I got you. Gave him the knuckles and stuff like that. And, you know, we're leaving. So Aaron got his stuff on, so I'm standing there. This kid comes up to me again. Wow. He comes up to me again. Give me a second, somebody say something. He comes up to me again. Yeah, thank you for whoever said what. Unless that was a sneeze, then God bless you. But he said, thank you, I appreciate. And it stopped me. It stopped me because he extended gratitude time and time again as I was leaving. Yeah, bro, I got you. No big deal. You're certainly welcome. that he was in a position of a broken state, but he didn't acknowledge the lack of his ability. He turned to the one with the ability. He turned to the one that had the answer and wasn't camped out. I'm in this defeated state. Woe is me. I'm just going to sit down here and cry because I can't get my boots on. No, 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 no. Thank you for helping me. Thank you for helping me put my boots on. Yeah, you're welcome, buddy. Hey, thanks again for helping me. Thanks again for helping me. It jumped and leapt so on the inside of me that you're an example to every other kid here. Why? Because your gratitude is on the one who is greater in ability than your current situation. You're looking beyond the fact that you couldn't even put on your own boots to acknowledge where the help came from. And Jesus, I know I've been sick for 12 years. I know I'm broke. I know I'm going through trial. But Jesus, the greater one, I give you the praise and the glory that when I was in that mess, you picked me up, translated me out of the kingdom of darkness, and set me into the kingdom of your dear son. When I didn't deserve it, when I didn't earn it, when my life wasn't a good representation of the model Christian, when I lost my temper to other people, when I did things that I shouldn't have done. Jesus, I give you the praise and the glory, and I take upon your ability, son. Daughter, your faith in how you approach me in this manner by releasing the praise of gratitude out of your mouth. Go in peace, behold your plague. You're different than them. You're different than this world. They need the Jesus on the inside of you. This kid, a daily reminder every time he looked into the mirror of his situation. And I was shocked. 8 years old. Maybe 9 years old. I don't know how old he was. I'm walking. Hey, thank you. Thank you again for helping me. Thank you for helping me get my boots on. Are you kidding me right now? Are you kidding me right now? Somehow our gratitude could be withheld to the point of where the breakthrough comes instead of understanding that our breakthrough came 2,000 years ago through Jesus Christ. So I'm going to praise and glorify in the midst of my circumstance. I'm going to praise and glorify my Heavenly Father right smack dab in the ditch of where I've been living for this long time. Right in the middle of circumstance, I glorify and honor you. I give you the praise and the glory, Father. You've delivered me. You've set me free. You've saved me. I'm telling you, we have our part to play in that. So oftentimes, down there at that family church, they want to make you lift your hands and praise the Lord. Yeah. He's worthy of it. See, the worth of his praise isn't based on a future event. It's based on a past event through his death, burial, and resurrection on the cross. So in our dispensation, till Jesus comes back, praise should automatically be in our mouth. Why? Because it was something that's already, praise God, he conquered death, hell, and the grave. Praise God, he rose again. Praise God, I'm delivered. Praise God, I'm set free. Praise God, I'm healed in body. Praise God, the power of God's working on the inside of me. Praise God that through this circumstance, I'm going to be victorious. Praise God for the testimony that's going to come out of this. Praise God that those people that knew me as the 12-year deficient, inadequate, broke person are going to now see the testimony of Jesus Christ on the inside of me. Praise God for that. Praise God. Why? Because you've been encountered by resurrection power on the inside of you. Jesus, the greater one. Give yourself to those things. I want to share with you some of these things that are going to help. And I don't want to be like a splatter barrel message of anything, but turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12. I want to just share a few things more with you here. Hebrews chapter 12, you're going to know this verse. We love these verses. Praise God. The Word of God is good. Hebrews chapter 12, let's just start right there in verse 1. And it says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. See, sometimes you can have a weight and you can have a sin. We know what the sin is, but sometimes weights are present in the lives of an individual as well. You know, Paul says, you know, some things aren't unlawful, but not all things are permissible. So in other words, saying like, yeah, I'm not in blatant sin, but too much, you know, sports on every single night. Sports aren't bad, but if you play them every single night and you give no time to church or the word, then it becomes a weight. It's not a sin to be in sports. I like to hunt. Okay. Every opportunity I get, I like to hunt and be a part of that. But if I did that every single night and neglected responsibility through family and stuff, it becomes a weight. You know what I mean? If anything that would take you away from the plan of God or the things of God can be a weight, even though they're not, hey, I'm not out, you know, knocking people out and shooting them and stuff like that, or not struggling with addictions and all that other stuff. That's blatant sin. But you can have, certainly can have weights. Pastor Tim's a prime example. Remember sailing. Sailing wasn't a sin, but it would become a weight on him if he would try to move on with the plan of God with that weight. You ever try to run with a weight? In fact, some of y'all like to embrace the resistance. You know, I try to go to the gym and yeah, the resistance of it, but some people, they go on a ruck, right? That's the right. They take a ruck. You know what rucking is? It means like you put on a weighted vest, a heavy vest, and you go for a hike, a run, a walk, whatever you want to do. But it's putting on a weighted, you know, vest or an encumbrance, if you will, and it's to resist you from perhaps moving forward in a more timely or efficient manner. It's the same thing with sin or with weights. Sometimes these things are holding you down. You're trying to run with God and keep up with God, but because you have some of these weights, and I specify this because, you know, sometimes we're I don't want to say dogmatic, but we put things like, hey, kids in sports and stuff like that. You know, I know Pastor hammers a lot on those things. He's not saying don't do sports, but if you're doing and you're running every single night and chasing the kids around, it becomes a weight. Why? Because then you're exhausted. You know, from running around, how much have you spent time with the Lord? How much time have you been in fellowship with Him? Well, not very much because, you know, Tuesday night I got this. I can't go to church on Wednesday night because the kids have soccer, the kids have baseball, and they have this. Sunday mornings is softball. I remember talking to a dude, and he played on our church softball team, and he was the pitcher for a while. And I'm like, hey, bro, you know, we would love to see you on a Sunday, man. We get in the word and you could come and it'd be a blessing to your life. Well, Sunday's my softball day, you know, because he played in like two or three different leagues. And so he deemed, not knowing, obviously a baby Christian, I believe he was saved, born again, but he would rather on a Sunday morning give himself to softball. Well, that becomes a weight. It's not wrong to play softball, but when you start putting it in before, you know, the things of God, then it becomes a weight to you. So it talks about weights and sins, and it says that you run with patience the race that is set before you. So run with patience. Well, that just sounds against one another to say that. So we're going to run with patience. Well, patience means slow, but what he's talking about as far as patience is endurance. Endurance. You know, it's amazing to me how enduring we can be to the devil when sometimes we just need to nip that thing right in the bud. Use your authority against him. But I want to share with you some of these things as far as endurance is concerned. When I was here and I ministered last time, I just felt like the Lord had shared with me, even that morning before I got up, he was talking about distractions. And distractions are so plaguing the body of Christ right now. We can't go 3 seconds without being on our phone. Every time we had it setting, all the binging and bonging and vibrating and everything in our pocket, we got to pull it out and check. Someone's having conversation with you, and all of a sudden, And then they say, oh, I'm listening. Don't do that. I feel like smacking you right now. Just being straight. You know, husbands, wives, you know what I'm talking about. I'm listening. No, you're not. Look me in the eye if you're listening to me. I don't know. I can't see your ears. I can see your eyes. And you're looking at this device or whatever. And I'm not saying my wife does that to me. I'm just saying, like, in general, like, you're going up to somebody at a cashier or you're in a store. Yeah, well, that's over there on aisle 4, probably halfway through. I just want their phone and just smack. Oh, you fumbled. Oh man, you better. Yeah, they feel the life go out of their body or something, like, oh my gosh, he's so attached. But that's the way that these distractions are. You know who's good at not giving into the distractions and stuff of the phone? The old school. Come on. Yes. My parents, you couldn't get a hold of my dad if you wanted to right now. You'd have to send a carrier pigeon or something and show up with a little note tied around his foot. We've been out hunting and stuff like that. Dad, I just shot this deer. Dad, are you okay? Nothing. I think he's dead. I think he fell out of a stand. If a bird showed up with a note, oh, hey, look at this bird. Showed up with a, yeah. Everybody know what a carrier pigeon is? Yeah, I sold one 4 times on eBay. It keeps coming back to me. All right, praise God. There's a good investment for everybody. Yeah, just find a carrier pigeon. You just sell that thing. Oh, yeah, it's a good carrier pigeon. You watch, try it one time, it comes right back. Okay, for sale, carrier pigeon. I'm just saying, the old generation, they got it figured out. Why? They're not embedded and ingrained on their phone in the distraction. They haven't set their whole lives around what their phone says they can and cannot do. They haven't spent the hours upon hours on their phone instead of meditating on the word and the things of God. They've done it, you know, they've taken other options for, you know, just recreation and stuff like that. And so that's one of the biggest things that this, I feel that the body of Christ is the lack of attention that we have. The devil's, he doesn't have to do anything but get your attention. Keep your eyes focused. That's why it says in the Bible in Colossians to set your mind on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father. That's our responsibility. It says, for as far as this world is concerned, you're dead. You're dead. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 3, is it? Peas and carrots. Giants eat peas and carrots. Galatians, what is it? Eats. Ephesians. Philippians. Colossians. Colossians 3. See, let's just keep it simple up in here. You know who I found out giants eat peas and carrots? Pastor Tim. I don't even know where we were. I don't even know he was up here. He's like, oh yeah, he's like, Galatians, giants eat peas and carrots. What? So if you guys go to carrots chapter 3, I don't even know where we're going. Here we go. In chapter 3, right there at the beginning, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on the things of this earth. I like in the Amplified, bring up number 2 in the Amplified. It says, and set your minds and keep them set on what is above. For as far as this world is concerned, you have died, and your new real life is hidden with Christ in God. As far as this world is concerned, you're dead. Why? Because you've been made alive in Him. And He says, set your mind on things above where Christ is seated. That's where you need to set, so you don't have any fellowship with darkness. So you need to know that and set your mind on those things. Why? As far as this world is concerned, you're dead. I don't know about you all, because you all are holy, and you know, Facebook, I guess, has made this good to stay, you know, intact and keep those relationships from high school and all our buddies and friends and everything, and keep tabs on everybody and what everybody's doing. I'm on Facebook too, and I have like a lot of church family, but very little of my, like, the people I went to school with and stuff like that. Not that I'm against them or anything, I just don't. But anyway, I don't know about you all, my friends, when I was living in the world, they were the first thing to go. Because I started speaking and living light amongst the dead. As far as the world is concerned, you've died and your life is now hid with Christ. You're different, you're set apart. No fellowship. What fellowship is there? Light with darkness? Christ with Belial or Satan? There's no fellowship there. I remember, some of you are maybe going through these things. I remember when I had to make the decision to get my life right with the Lord, that I would have to take a Friday evening when all my boys were out at the clubs doing their thing, and I'd have to sit with my parents and watch a movie. I remember even before partying with my buddies, months before I got right with the Lord, I would tell them, I was talking to Pastor about this not too long ago because he had similar experience, maybe you guys too. And I would tell them, hey, I'm going to be getting my life right soon. They'd be like, okay, you're pretty right now. Three sheets to the wind. You're looking pretty good. And I would tell them, I said, yeah, it won't be long before I'll be getting my life right with God. And I recognized even in a backslidden state that I was going to be getting right with God, and that by me getting right with God meant advancement for me. So in other words, like, you all can sit here, and I'm well aware of this, you're not smart enough to do anything on your own. You better find the plan of God, because that's going to be the victorious way, which it is for all of us. But I'm saying, like, I didn't have an arm of the flesh to lean back on. I'm not, you know, I don't have my doctorates or masters or something in some field or something to make me excel. Like, man, it's either, you know, being boozed and trying to be liked by everybody, or I'm going to have to get right with God and move forward with the plan of God. That was it. And it's not an attack against people, but sometimes he'll lead you away from those influences in your life because he's got more that he wants to establish on the inside of you. He wants to cultivate you and mature you to be a blessing to the body of Christ. It's not like he's trying to take you away, but the blind lead the blind, they'll both end up in the ditch. You know what I mean? He's not trying to separate you from friendships and stuff like that. But I had to sever some of those things so that I could get more locked in on the things of God. And I had to set my mind on things above where he seateth. Because as far as this world is concerned, you have died. So back with me over there to Hebrews chapter 12. It goes on to say that you were running this race with patience or endurance. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners. No, I'm sorry. Let's go to 2. I skipped the most important verse there. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Looking unto Jesus. See, setting your minds, looking unto Jesus. For the one that endured the cross, that endurance has to be established on the inside of you. This distraction of this world has hand in hand impeded the endurance of the believer. And I've even noticed in myself that the doom scrolling, sometimes, Reverend Gurr said that the attention span of I don't even know within the church, but of people nowadays is 8 seconds. And the phone is rightfully so. You're sitting there, oh yeah, well, this has got my attention. I want to hear what this person has to say. If not, and you're right into something else in a feed or something like that. Why? No endurance. People wonder why they come to church and, you know, the minister gets up there and ministers for any length of time. And, oh my gosh, it was just painful to sit there. Oh my gosh, like, are we ever going to get out of here? Is this Sunday? There's no endurance established. People that have endurance in those things, like runners and stuff like that, don't put me with a runner right now. I'll run a quarter mile. I'll walk. I'll walk. 1 foot in front of another. Pick them up, put them down. You know what I mean? That makes it real easy. But when it comes to running, all of a sudden there's one thing running takes that walking necessarily doesn't. It takes endurance. All of a sudden, man, this is painful to me. This is work to me. Reading and meditating in my word is work for me. Endurance. Endurance. No, endurance is fighting and making my stand against the devil. Yes, you're right, it is. But I'm just talking basic things. Looking unto Jesus. It takes endurance to find Jesus. And I don't know about you, but it's so worth the price to pay. We're all at different levels. Maybe this comes to me, maybe, I don't know what, you know, how everybody approaches Jesus. I'm kind of like a wrecking ball in a sense. You need to make up your mind that I'm going to come tumbling, cartwheeling, stumbling in, but I'm going to find it. There has to be a determination on the inside of you that you're not going to give up. I will find God. I will hear His voice. I will know His word. I will fulfill His plan for my life. You may need to make that determination on the inside, and then you're picking them up, putting them down. Why? I realize it's going to take endurance. Endurance to get past my flesh. The person that started the marathon, they are well familiar with endurance. They understand the price to be paid for the reward. Paul says, I buffet my body. I make it my slave. I box as one beating the air. I put my flesh under that I may obtain the prize. He understood, hey, there's a price that it's going to require here, and endurance is the key. All I'm going to do is I'm going to endure and look unto Jesus. That woman with the issue of blood, if I could but touch the hem of His garment, she heard something, and she said, I'm just going to do it. Well, no, you better stay where you're at. What if you go amongst them and someone spots you in your uncleanness? Endurance, picking them up, putting them down, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith. I'm moving forward with the things of God. I'm going to endure till the end. That's why it says a faithful man shall abound in blessing. A faithful, time in, time out, there they are. Day in, day out, there they are. Trial, no trial, there they are. Circumstance, no circumstance, there they are. I don't know about you, but I want the devil to be like, oh, those stinking family church people, there they are. Sneaking, there they are again. I put everything on them. Smoke cleared, there they are, still standing. I tried everything. I tried calamity. I tried hardship. I tried loss. There they are. Sneaking, there they are. Now I got to deal with them again. Put this on them. Put that. There they are. Man, they know endurance. They know faithfulness and the price that's required to get more of God. You know, there was a minister one time, and I've always maybe work this against myself, paying the price to know Jesus. Paying the price where? In your flesh. Keeping your attention span on Him is going to take some effort. It's going to take some work on your part to do those things. Looking unto Jesus. Why? Your endurance is dependent on it. Picking them up, putting down. Don't want to. Still doing it. People that try to do the running. So my wife runs, and I know there's others that run and jog, maybe others that like to run and stuff like that. I can really relate to this brother because I saw this one guy I was watching one time. He said, you know what? First 20 runs were like garbage. Didn't feel like it. People are like, oh, I enjoy running. I enjoy the endorphins and the good feeling and the runner's high that I have. He's like, the first 20 runs, want to pull my hair out, pull my teeth out. He said it was the worst thing possible. My body was hating it. But after endurance took its toll, all of a sudden, ain't nobody keeping up. Why? The endurance with Jesus, keeping up with Jesus. All of a sudden, the devil's like, I can't match that. I can't keep up with that. How am I supposed to deal with this? They understand the victory that's on the inside of them. They have endurance to get. How am I supposed to stop this? I'm telling you, there's a price to be paid. Endurance is the other side of it. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Amen. We're going to go ahead and we're going to close right there. I just trust your help. I'm telling you, that woman with the issue of blood, I'm telling you what, daughter, your faith has made you whole. How you showed up is what made you whole. You were the outcast. You were the broken. You were the downtrodden. Jesus said, daughter, son, your faith has made you whole.